Matt Damon and Woke Odysseus. That's what we're going to talk about. And it may surprise you that I actually like the movie. I'm George Sayor on Grace at the Gates, and we are going to talk about, or I'm going to discuss some thoughts, give some reflections on The Odyssey, Christopher Nolan's movie adaptation of Homer's very famous Western literature, The Odyssey and Odysseus. And I have to say, like, it was just frustrating that week when it first came out. All the online outrage and then outrage at the outrage. That's always fun for Christians. So there's always going to be a group of Christians that have all this outrage. And then there's the group of Christians that have outrage for the outrage. And so no doubt it had a lot of buildup, and I didn't know what to think about it. I did think the casting of Ellen Page, I think it's tragic, quite frankly. Not her casting, but just what she's done to herself. And that was the news, that this is a woke adaptation of The Odyssey, and how dare Christopher Nolan do this. And there was a number of reasons people were saying that. One was, again, various woke actors or actresses playing roles in the movie. And so, I mean, I don't know what you want to do there. Hollywood is very woke. And so quite often, if you're going to do a film of this stature, you're going to get a lot of woke actresses and actors. And so, of course, you have the Ellen Page, I've already said, I guess one black woman is playing Helen of Troy, and that feels like appropriation or something, cultural appropriation, and then people are quick to say, well, we don't know if Helen of Troy even existed or whatever. So there was all of that, and then there was all this comments on the accents used in the movie, and these are a lot of these things are not things I even get into. I'm watching a movie generally for entertainment, and so whether they use the right accents or language choices, I think I even saw how Odysseus' son was calling him dad instead of father or something. I don't know. I mean, the thing was written in Greek, and it was passed down for generations before Homer ever wrote it, and yeah, so whatever. But why did I see it, and why did what was my interest in it? Well, honestly, my kids were interested in seeing it. So I have three teenagers, one in college, two in high school, and my daughter seemed very interested in seeing it. She's a senior, and she had just read it recently in one of her classes, I guess. And my youngest son, while he didn't read it, he said he studied it in one of his classes, and then I was like thinking, well, why didn't you read it? Like, what's wrong with education today? And I'm telling everybody how I read it and I loved it years and years ago, and I think it was eighth grade. And then it dawned on me, I'm not sure if I ever even read The Odyssey. I definitely studied it, very, you know, conversant in the major themes of it and the events of it. I remember seeing either a cartoon or movie as a kid, but I mean, to, you know, I'm in my 50s, so, you know, to see this and read this or study it in the 1980s and still remember it, it obviously had an impact on me. And I don't remember if I actually read the whole thing or not. I don't remember. So I was telling my kids I did, and then it dawned on me maybe I didn't. But when my kids were interested in seeing this, and they were actually seemed excited, everyone from my 10th grader to my college student, I'm like, this is an opportunity, first of all, to go do something with my kids, to engage with something from their own education that they're excited to see, and then also to process it with them. And, you know, I thought that's what Christians do. I thought we do that. So all the outrage, I liked it. I liked it as a movie. There were definitely issues with it, and that's what we're going to talk about. But, like, it just so surprising to me or whatever that people are surprised that Hollywood is going to make a movie that has wokeness and woke themes in it. as if you don't see the movies Hollywood is always making. And it also was funny to me, sort of the ownership that people felt over, like, The Odyssey. How dare you adapt it? How dare you have an interpretive license on it? How dare you? Like, you don't know. You know, it's like when people want to critique me on the podcast. Well, you didn't handle this right, or you didn't push back enough, or... Okay, have your own podcast and do it your own way. Like, nobody told you to listen or watch or whatever, you know? And I think the same thing. So I hear Elon Musk, I don't know if he's joking, he's going to make a fully AI Odyssey that's going to be more accurate to the book and even better. I don't know. So good. I'll look forward to seeing that too. But... you know, as far as the interpretive license on this thing, we'll talk about the woke themes, where they were and where they weren't. And honestly, I think the biggest problem with The Odyssey was he missed the main point, I think. And we'll talk about that. And so, you know, interpretive license, look, you take a book, black ink on white paper, metaphorically speaking, I guess literally, but, you know, pen on paper, and it gets processed through millions of minds who have their own imagery on what things like a Cyclops looks like and what a Journey looks like and what they, you know, what they wore and what the ships looked like and all that. Yeah, that was another thing. Oh, the ships weren't period accurate or something. Pfft, whatever. The whole thing is a story and it's been passed down. And so, but the processing, sorry, squirrels, the processing of a book into a movie, anybody who's a real reader and who loves fiction and loves stories or history, you know, something that is being told and then is going to be displayed on the big screen, going to be displayed visually, they're always upset. The only movie or series that I've ever seen that real true fans of the literature were not upset with was Lord of the Rings. It's the only one I've ever seen. People seem to appreciate the Lord of the Rings movies, you know, real aficionados of Tolkien even appreciate the movies while still being able to say, yeah, this was different, that was different, he took this interpretive license, I wish he'd done. But generally, it's a very positive view. Everything else, you have much more critique. I mean, my experience, even the Harry Potter books, like true Harry Potter fans that were reading those books when the movies came out, they were, in my recollection, anecdotally, upset at the differences with the movies. And yet they still were willing to let them go. But there was still more of an air of, well, that wasn't accurate or whatever. And then you just take that to any movie, there's going to be an interpretive grid by which it ends up on the screen. There's decisions that they have to make for the brevity of the movie and for the point of the movie. Often they have to add backstory there that isn't in the book. It's the white space, you know. It's like even in the telling of the Gospels where Jesus goes from place to place, like what was happening along the way. And so even sometimes, you know, pastors will posit, not scripturally, but like, imagine how the crowd felt. It's been X amount of days. Like that, there's this interpretation that takes place to help fill in the gaps and to make it flow. And so, you know, I thought some of that critique was overly critical. And that's what a critique is. But, you know, the bigger problem for me was the themes. The themes just didn't seem, and we'll talk about, again, the woke stuff that was very clear at the end, not just in the casting decisions or the decisions on how to portray the movies or characters, but actual things that happened in it that were clearly woke, and, you know, you should be able to identify those things. But like for me, when I thought of The Odyssey, and again, I haven't read it recently, and I'm not sure how much I read it when I studied it in middle school, you know, but it is remarkable that it stuck with me the various ideas, themes, and plot line. And, you know, so much of it was this desire to go home by Odysseus. A love for home, a desire to be home, and to conquer all odds to get home. That was one. The other one that was very big, a theme of the book, is the overcoming of trials or tests that create, prove, and exhibit character traits, virtue. It's the gods are testing him, and he has to complete these quests, these trials in this quest, and in doing so, he in a sense proves himself worthy. And that was almost completely absent from this. It's almost as if the trials were just these happenstance obstacles, or the gods just angry, or whatever. I don't know what it was, but they were totally underplayed. Now, on the big screen, of course, Cyclops was big, and that army of giants that, you know, slaughtered them were big, and the Charybdis and Scylla were like, you know, all these things were there, but it was like not the point for the telling of this story, for whatever reason. And this is my interpretation. This is my impression of it. They were very much muted. Again, not the imagery of them, because they were shown, or when he was in Hades, but like the events. It's almost like Nolan wanted to just get past these obstacles. Just have them past the obstacles, no real reflection on them. Once in a while, there was reflection. There was like representative reflection. So after the sirens, where, you know, Odysseus is the one without his ears plugged, and he's tied to the mast of the ship, and all of his crew couldn't hear because they wax in their ears, and so they want to know what he heard after he got through it, and he's like weeping, and he's explaining it. Like, that was like one place where Nolan chose to reflect on what had just happened, you know. And yet, and again, in my own studying of this or recollection of it, that was usually the main thing. Like, what were the virtues that were being tested or shown or exhibited? What were the failures and successes in this? And, you know, I noticed it right away with the Cyclops event. Like, the Cyclops never spoke in the movie. There was no interaction. He was just this dumb, giant, ugly thing with a twisted eye. I don't know. There's an interpretive thing for you. Let's put his eye upside down or vertical or 90 degrees or whatever. But okay, whatever. But like, yeah, it was almost like, let's just get past this thing. And yet, as a kid, that was one of the most impactful memories I have of it, was how Odysseus tricks him. There was no trick in it. In other words, there was this lesson or this theme or this fable-like character that to the book that didn't exist in the movie. And like in that particular case, there was dialogue back and forth between the Cyclops and Odysseus. And Odysseus tells him, you know, the Cyclops wants to know, what's your name? And Odysseus tells him, nobody. My name's nobody. And apparently there's other ones of these giant things all over the island. And so when they're escaping and he's crying out and he says, nobody attacked me, or nobody's hurting me, or something like that. Like, there was this wit. So wit and brains and rationale overcomes size, I think, is one of the sort of lessons, character lessons of the thing. And yet, you know, Odysseus eventually does tell him his name in a prideful way. So that, I mean, that's very sort of symbolic, right? Because you overcome, you know, Christians know this, like whenever we even just do good things, so forget about the movie for a second, like you did, but your motives are tainted, and you may want, like, you do something out of the goodness of your heart, but then you want people to know, you know? And so there's kind of like this thing going on here where it turns from them just escaping from the Cyclops to him actually telling his name, which then is the reason that Poseidon is angry with him. And you just get hints of that, like Odysseus shoots an arrow into the Cyclops' eye when he didn't need to, after they already blinded him And it was kind of like, it just was kind of like pointless. But again, in the movie, the thing didn't talk, one time he said a word and he said, he can talk, but there was no dialogue like in the book. So, you know, that's one of these interpretive things where you could say, well, George, you said, you know, it's okay to make these interpretive things. Yeah, I am, but I'm also lamenting the fact that in this case, they missed the point. They missed the point of the lessons, of the virtue that's being exhibited through passing the test. The tests were, it was like these were a second thought to the movie. Another example, obviously, is the Charybdis and the Scylla and making the decision between the whirlpool or the giant monster, multi-headed monster that's going to, you know, destroy the ship and kill the crew. Like the choice between two bad options and how you navigate that. The sirens is, there's a huge lesson there. And I don't even know, he mumbled something in the movie that just didn't, it wasn't coherent. I don't remember. It was like, what is he talking about? And that's just, you know, like the idea that there's this siren call to us. This is stuff we think about in Western civilization. We still refer to the siren's call, this promise of some kind of satisfaction that is fleeting and leads to our destruction. Like, yeah, that theme wasn't there. Maybe you're going to tell me it was, because when he was blathering like a baby on the mast, he mumbled something that maybe said that. But my point is, I was more disappointed in the fact that the thrust of the movie was not what I remembered, you know, studying as a kid. It was almost like, let's just get past these obstacles, these trials. They're just irrelevant kind of to the story. And, you know, I didn't get it. There was also the thing on the island with Calypso, which was just, it was just ridiculous, with that famous actress. What's her name? Her name's escaping me. But they mixed the lotus flowers in with that. They also made it like Odysseus was wanting to stay there. My recollection of the book is he wasn't. He was weeping on the beach, like he wasn't able to leave. And here they changed the whole motive of the story, that it was his desire to stay there so that he could forget. There's these things that he wants to forget. And I don't, you can correct me, I don't think that was a part of the story. And that kind of indicates some of the, you know, 21st century emotive, toxic empathy, over-psychologized stuff that wouldn't have been a part of this, you know, the telling of this book. And then there were trials that weren't even mentioned. And again, it's like, again, they convolute. Oh, the Hades one was horrible. Wow, I'm being pretty negative on this. And you're wondering, like what you said you liked. Well, I did. But like, as I think of this part of it, the idea that the trials were meant to teach virtue and show the lengths that he's willing to do to get home. And I do think the movie does that, right? Like, clearly he wants to get home. He wants to get his whole crew home safe. So there is that. But, you know, the real story is like an epic game where the hero has to solve puzzles for the express purpose of proving his worth and demonstrating virtue and getting lesson out of it. And so the puzzle-like solutions and lessons were besides the point in the movie, in my opinion. Now, if I didn't know that from the book, I would say, oh, this is great. This is cool. This is like what's going to happen and how is he going to get home? I mean, this is hopeless. And then the whole, you know, the idea of fate and tempting fate and defying fate and defying the gods and what role providence has in things. And, you know, free choice or free will, you know, and predestination. There's all these themes that are a part of it. And those you can't escape were even part of the movie. So, to the woke themes. Well, there was two times this came out. And really, it ends up reframing the whole movie. So, in these little two scenes, like if you just erase these scenes, it would be fine. But then you just put these, like, probably less than 5 minutes of dialogue, maybe like a minute each of dialogue, so 2 minutes. And essentially, you change the whole story. And so that's where the wokeness really enters in the philosophy of what's being expressed. So there's wokeness in the casting, there's wokeness in the interpretive choices, and then there's wokeness in what they're trying to give you. So the one is like Anne Hathaway's character, which for the most part did play the dutiful wife and exhibited that well. I mean, Penelope historically or in the minds of history is this sort of dutiful, devoted wife. Wants her husband back. She does that, I think, Anne Hathaway. But there's that one scene where she's talking with her son. And she goes into this, like, girl power rant. You know, and it's like, it's so, like, 21st century feminist. Like, what are we on? Fourth wave feminist? Whatever it is. It's this girl. It's this, I'm holding it together. I am ruling. But because I'm a woman or because I don't have, you know. This. But that was the impression I was getting. But she's definitely said, but like, because I'm not a man, it doesn't matter. And, you know, like, so it once again, like, you know, imports this 21st century girl power feminist thing into Hathaway's character. And then she like, then like Nolan tries to redeem it by her saying like the son says like, well, what do you want? Or what he asks her a question. She goes, I want Odysseus. And she storms off. So then she wants her husband. Like, it's not like, I should be on the throne. It's we need our king. So, you know, there was that hint, and I'm just used to that. I mean, like, I'm used to that. You should be used to it too. But the bigger problem is the Odysseus's speech. And in some of the speech, there's like a PTSD-ness response to it. And I think, you know, within bounds, that's appropriate. I mean, you know, he lost all these men and you know, human beings, even though they were more grizzled, more calloused back then, the human response, it's right to come out. I think that's fine. It's real. But the bigger problem was the idea that they're the bad guys. Like, and this goes back to the whole, like, haters of America thing. Like, Americans are colonialists. Look what we did to the Native Americans. Look at our slavery. We're the problems. It's Western Christians are the problem. We think we're the heroes, but we're really the villains. Like, that was the mindset here. Like, he's just lamenting what they did to Troy with the Trojan horse, and they violated the law of the gods and doing this thing that should be hospitality and all this nonsense. That it's like, yeah, that was not in the book. Like, that wasn't even a part of like any of the thinking back then. Yeah, so that becomes the summary for why it takes him so long to get back home, is because he's dealing with this. He feels guilty for everything that he did, and so that's why he stays on the island with Calypso for like 7 years or 9 years or whatever it was. The idea that you're going to recast yourself as the villain, you know, and this even pastorally, like, you know, like, I'm a pastor. This is supposed to be, you know, sort of Christian worldview thought. Like, I used to tell my congregation, like, we want to always put everybody in a bucket of all good or all bad. And when something happens, we have to, like, there's this negotiating, well, does that make them good or bad? And what do we want to know? And it's like, no, people are complicated, right? Like, it's not all good or all bad. At any rate, that, like, was just the summary of his voyage, and I think that really kind of cast a bad thing. But like, again, if you're just watching a movie, you're like, yeah, whatever. And I think that's kind of my point, is, look, I know what I'm going to get out of Hollywood. I know what to expect. And yet I can still go enjoy the movie the way I did the Marvel movies. I mean, the Marvel movies had all kinds of woke stuff in there, and it's just like, yeah, okay, what woke casting decisions, woke speeches, you know, yeah, okay. I still enjoy it, you know, and the same with this. And what was cool is like the battles were like fierce, man. It was good, epic drama, adventure. The final scene was cool. Like, he just, like, it just never ended. All the, he's killing all the suitors, you know. And if you didn't see this, lots of spoilers, so sorry. But then the conversations with my kids. So my kids loved it. And I didn't tell them, like, well, you shouldn't love it. Look at how woke it is. And, like, rain on their motivation and their enthusiasm for visualizing what they've read or studied in the past. We talked about it. And then we talked about exactly what I've talked about here. And actually went through some of the trials and said, what do you think the lesson is there? What do you think the lesson is of the, you know, of the sirens? Or do you remember? And I was like, well, do you remember the difference between, you know, the Cyclops in this one, I forget the guy's name, and the Cyclops in the original, and we talked about that. And so it was just a great conversation with my kids. And so I think as Christians, we you know, it's always like, why is a serpent gentle as doves? We don't need to boycott movies. Now, if the movie is wicked or sinful, like, you know, showing inappropriate things and such, I think we should speak against that. But like the idea that the idea that the world is going to put worldly themes in a worldly thing, it's like we wring our hands. And then you got the Christians like Eric Erickson was like, dude, like look, do a search on his for Odyssey or Odysseus. Like he must have 100 tweets, maybe 200 tweets and responses within like a 2-day period. And then he's like, why is the algorithm giving me all this Odyssey stuff? Well, maybe because you're just completely obsessed with trying to redeem it. I don't know. He was as obsessed with redeeming it as the people that were, you know, shaking their fists at it. It's just like, come on, man, it's a movie. I would love it if somebody made a more accurate one. But in the meantime, 3 hours did not feel like 3 hours. I mean, me and my kids, we don't like long movies. I especially don't. I like an hour and a half movies nowadays. Growing up, I liked like 2-hour movies, you know. But this thing flew by in the theater, man. It's engaging. It's visually spectacular. There's a lot of threads going on. I think it was a movie production masterpiece. I don't know what to say, you know. And so, yeah, you want to study the ships that should have been used and the way they should have dressed and how they should have spoken. Okay, well, then this isn't for you. This is not for you. You probably don't want to go to a movie to just enjoy the movie. You want to, there's other nuances that are more important to you. For me, it was enjoyable to watch. It's also been enjoyable to think about and to help my kids process the way the world looks at things and the way the world interprets things and the way Christians should. So that's my take on woke Odysseus. And I'll probably watch it again when it comes out on streaming. So anyway, it's a little different take and a little different episode for me here on Grace at the Gates. Thanks for watching. Oh, want to give a shout out again to Birmingham Theological Seminary. Helps sponsor this. And I've been a student there. So bts.education. And it's not too late to get in on their classes that are going to be starting here really soon. So I would encourage you to do that, bts.education, if you want even a master's in education or counseling. But of course, they have MAs and MDivs and DMins and THMs now. And certificate programs for churchmen that just want to bone up on their polity or theology. So you can do it all at bts.education.